I think that we all hope to have fun in our lives. I think that we all hope to be leaders. I think that we all hope to matter in this world. And hope's a wildly important force in our lives. It's something that we should foster in our own lives and the lives of other people. But hope is actually a lousy strategy. I think if we want things in our lives, we can't just hope for them. We have to plan for them. I think we have to plan to have fun. I think we have to plan to be leaders. I think we have to plan to matter to other people in the world. And the interesting thing is, I don't think enough people are planning to be leaders. Like, leadership development has been my whole adult life. And I'm discovering again and again that for whatever reason, people aren't planning to be leaders. They think that leadership's something beyond them. They think that leadership is something that beyond's in the realm of other people. They think that leadership is no fun. And it's honest, leadership can take commitment, it can take sacrifice, but I honestly believe that planning to be leaders can bring so much happiness and so many moments of real fun in our lives that we've really got to all start to play what I like to call the leadership game. And I think the leadership game begins with one rule. When you don't know what to do in a situation, ask yourself, what would the person who I want to be do in this situation? And then do that. The difficulty is that rule's hard to follow when we don't actually know who it is that we want to be. And what I've discovered in my work is that most people tremendously overestimate their understanding of who it is that they actually want to be. And I was one of those people, and it was one of my students that showed me that. I spent 8 years running the Leadership Development Program at the University of Toronto in Canada. And I gave my first ever workshop when I was 28 years old. And at the end of that workshop, a young woman came up to me and said what every educator wants to hear at the end of their first lecture. I don't get it. And I said, well, what don't you get? And she said, I don't understand leadership anymore. And I said, that's okay, we have all semester to figure out what leadership means to you. That's why we're doing the workshops. And she says, no, I understood it before I came to your class, and now I don't understand it anymore. And I realize now that's what I want to happen when I do a workshop. But at the time, I felt like I'd let this woman down. And I said, well, what specifically confuses you? And she said, well, I'm an international student. I'm not from here. And where I'm from, we've always been taught that the smartest people are supposed to be the leaders. And the smartest people are the ones who get the best grades in school. So if you want to be a leader, you have to get good grades. It's your way of showing people that you deserve to be a leader. And if you don't get good grades, it's your way of showing the world that you don't deserve to be a leader. But after listening to you, I think that leadership means something different in Canadian. Can you tell me what leadership means in simple English? And I don't know if you've ever been asked a question to which you are certain you have an answer until someone asks you the question, but that woman completely stumped me with that one. And leadership was in my job title. I ran a leadership program, and she just asked me, what is it? I had nothing. And so I did what educators do when we get stumped by a student. We go for the glasses. Well, what do you think? And to her credit, she says, I don't know, that's why I asked you. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you go home and think about it, and tomorrow we'll talk about it in class, which also gives me the opportunity to go home and figure out an answer to the question. Because I was upset by that, because leadership was a value that I wanted to embody every day of my life. I wanted to stand for leadership every day of my life, and this woman asked me the most basic question, what does it mean, and I had nothing. And I went home and I put myself through a hypothetical, and it's one that I'd like you guys to go through with me as well. Let's say that I have someone follow you around for 2 weeks of your life. You don't know what 2 weeks of your life it's going to be. It could be any 2 weeks. And they see everything public and private that you do. They witness every interaction that you're a part of. They watch how you interact with people that you love, with people that you can't stand, with people that you've never met before in restaurants and in stores. At the end of those 2 weeks, someone sits that person down and says, that person you followed around, what are the three fundamental values that they stand for every day of their life? What are the three things that they want to embody every day of their life? What three words do you hope that person who followed you around says that you stand for every day of your life? I want you to think about those three words. I have asked hundreds of people that question, and everybody struggles with it. They might come up with one, and then they have to take quite a bit of time to get to a second. A lot of people never actually get to a third. Because you watch, as they're struggling to get it, they're actually annoyed with themselves that they can't come up with these three fundamental values that they want to stand for every day of their life. And eventually they start saying things like integrity, respect, family, faith, compassion. And those are all great words. But I want you to think of your three words. I want you to pick one of them. I want you to imagine that young woman walked up to you and said, "I'm sorry, that word doesn't exist in my language. What does integrity mean?" I want you to imagine a four-year-old walks up to you, and four-year-olds are the best people in the world to ask you questions and make you realize you have no idea what you're talking about. A four-year-old comes up to you and says, "I'm sorry, what does respect mean?" And like most of the people in this room, for the words that I came up with that night, give me 5 to 10 minutes, I could come up with a tremendous definition for every single one of them, for transparency, accountability, for friendship and passion. But I was 28 years old, and it was the first time in my life that I had ever actually done it. And yet I had spent the better part of 2.5 decades of my life evaluating how I felt about myself as a leader and as a human being based on how well I lived those values. And I had no idea what they actually meant. And it's why I say that one of the first steps we have to take in leadership is we have to define the things that we want to define us. Because if we don't, we're always going to feel unfulfilled somehow. Because let's say that respect is a value that you want to embody every day of your life. You want to stand for respect every day of your life. If you haven't actually defined what respect means, if you haven't turned it into a goal that you know when you hit it, you could be embodying respect every day of your life, and you've never given yourself permission to celebrate that fact. I think that setting goals is basically planning celebrations, and I think that celebrations are fun. And I think that we do it in our financial lives, I think we do it in our careers, I think that leadership means starting to do the same thing for our character as well. To know exactly what it is that you're aiming for every day. I think there's three steps that we have to take. One, I think you have to identify your values. And we have to help, especially our kids and the students that we teach, we have to help them do that as well. I love asking it with that hypothetical. What if someone followed you around for 2 weeks? What if a film crew followed you for 2 weeks of your life and then showed it to an audience of 100 people? What words would they say that you stand for? What words do you hope that they say? And then two, I think we have to define those values. For every single word that you come up with that you want to be a core of who you are, ask yourself, how would I explain this to a four-year-old? How would I explain this to someone for whom that word does not exist? When you do that, when you list your values and you define what they actually mean, what you do is you create a set of criteria that you can use to make decisions that are consistent with your values every time the opportunity presents itself. You create a list of criteria to which you can pivot every time you have to make a decision in your life. And if you've never done this, my question is, to what have you been pivoting to make decisions your whole life? Like, good leaders do this. Where great leaders separate from good leaders is that good leaders live their values every time the opportunity presents itself. Great leaders create opportunities to live their values. They take deliberate steps every single day to make sure that they're living the values they want to stand for. Let me give you an example of how we did it once. I worked with a group of students once, and we said, we want to put this into practice. We said, step one, what's our core value? We said, we want to stand for impact. Then we said, all right, how would we explain that to someone? Well, impact, we said, is creating moments that cause people to walk away feeling as if they are better off for having interacted with you. And every day we'd come together at the end of the day and we'd ask, how did we do that? The problem was, what we were doing is that we were using our value to evaluate behavior that had already happened. We realized what we really wanted to do is we wanted our values to drive our behavior. So we said, let's create a question. A question that if we ask and answer it every day, we know we've lived our core value. And we're going to make sure that we have an expectation of ourselves to answer that question, a personal cultural expectation to answer the question. Because if you think about your day, the list of to-dos that you have in a given day, most of them are obligations that you're trying to fulfill for other people. You got to go to work on time. You got to get that assignment done. You got to pick up the kids or go grocery shopping. We should have obligations to other people, and we should try to fulfill them. But when every obligation you have in a given day is to meet someone else's need or someone else's obligation, ultimately it's hard to feel like you're a leader. It's hard to feel like you're in charge of your own life. And we said, even if 90% of our lives are to meet the obligations we made to other people, we will make obligations to ourselves. And this question will be where we start. And the question that we created, tied directly to our value of impact, is how have I recognized someone else's leadership today? And as soon as we started to make this a personal cultural obligation for ourselves, of leadership, creating a culture of leadership in our own lives, things started to change. A few days after we created this question, I went to a grocery store. I went on a Saturday, which is ridiculous. Don't go to grocery stores on a Saturday. It's Cirque du Soleil in there. Every lineup, 25 people. Finally, I got in the shortest one. At the end of the line was the greatest cashier I've ever seen. This woman was a ninja. Everything she threw at the scanner beeped, and she would throw six things at the scanner at once. And I remember thinking, that is the best I've ever seen. And as soon as I said it to myself, I thought, what an odd thing that is to say. Because I started to realize that the more people in our society that we think can do a job, the less likely we are to recognize excellence in that job. And if you're an athlete, you're a musician, there are magazines dedicated to the top 50 of all time. If you're the cashier, you're a bartender, you're a waitress, and even worse, if you're a teacher or a nurse, for some reason we think everybody can do it, so why recognize excellence? And I had that question in my head, though. And it changed what I did next. And I said, I'm going to tell this woman she is the greatest cashier that I have ever seen. And I was really excited. But for 20 minutes, I watched everyone be mean to her. Everyone was in a hurry. They kept making that loud sigh that you make when you want the person to know that you're waiting. So by the time I got to her, she was just about to cry. There was the line of tears at the bottom of her eyes. I said, okay, I cannot just say something nice to this woman. I have to do something nice for this woman. So I turned to the candy counter, and I said, excuse me, which of these chocolates do you think are the best? And she snaps at me. She goes, caramels. There is a list of words in the English language you do not expect to be snapped at you in anger, ever. Caramels is on that list. There's like, seriously, there's English words that you don't expect to hear. Bubbles. Fluffy. The words don't sound right. And I was always taken aback. So I put the chocolates down on the belt, and she beeps them through and goes to put them in the bag. And I said, no, I got those for you. You look like you're having a really bad day. I thought you deserved chocolates. Because I wanted to make her smile, right? I was willing to drop $2 to make the cashier smile. She starts to cry. Not what I was going for. Because now all there is 20 people in line watching the woman cry across from the dude in the goofy hat. They don't know what just happened. I'm Canadian. I have apologized to inanimate objects I've tripped over, okay? So this crying woman set me off. So I started, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. And she goes, no, it's okay. It's just nobody's even been polite to me today. And you bought me chocolates. I just don't know how to deal with it. And I thought it would be one of those moments that makes you feel good for a second and then you forget about it. Like when you buy coffee for the person behind you in line at the coffee shop and you all nod like you do it all the time. You did it once 4 years ago. You've been coasting on it ever since. But I realized this, that moment, up until that moment, when she went home to her family and they asked, how was your day? I bet she snaps at them and pulls value out of their lives. I bet you now, even if nothing else good happened all day in her life, she leads with, this guy did the nicest thing for me. And it took me nothing. And it was that question that made me seize a moment. And there's so many of those moments in our careers and in our friendships and our family lives that we let go past. But this question wouldn't let me that time. And that's become the leadership game for me, what I strive to do every day. I started to operationalize my personal leadership values through these questions. Let me share with you the six of them that drive my life. And I want you to think about what yours will be. Here are my six. One, what have I done today to recognize someone else's leadership? That embodies the value of impact. What have I done today to make it more likely that I will learn something, to embody the value of continuous improvement and make sure that we don't just learn things to solve a specific problem at our job, we are continuous lifelong learners. What have I done today to make it more likely someone else will learn something, to embody this value of mentorship? Because I don't care how old you are, or how much money you make, or where you think you fall in the socioeconomic status, you have something to teach other people. And for some reason we wait. We don't do it. We don't embrace this ability to tell other people things that will make their lives better. What positive thing have I said about someone to their face today? This is so simple that we assume we do it all the time, and I think as a result, we've stopped doing it. I think that that's such an empowering thing to just pick something about someone and say, you're doing that well. Thank you for it. What positive thing have I said about someone who isn't even in the room today to embody this value of recognition of the great things in our lives and the great people in our lives, but also about this fact. However you talk about people who are not in the room, everyone who is in the room assumes you talk about them the same way. And if you think of the people you like and respect the most, you will think of very few instances where they slam people who aren't in the room. You can be those people. Let's make it part of our lives. If we're going to talk about people, who says it has to be negative? And the last one, how have I been good to myself today? To embody self-respect, and also this fact, I do not understand how we expect bosses and children and husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends to do something for us that we're not willing to do for ourselves, and that's to treat ourselves well. Six questions. Four to add value to other people, two to add value to me. That's what I aim to do every single day. That's the game I think that we can play every single day. If you do it right, ultimately what you end up doing is you create 1,200 additional pieces of value a year. But you're gonna fail sometimes, so here are my lessons. 4 out of 6, 300 out of 365. 4 of the 6 questions is what you aim to answer every single day, 300 out of 365 days of the year, because failure is a part of life, and yet we all say it, we never build it into our plans. And if you do that, 300 out of 365, 1,200 additional pieces of value tied specifically to who you wanna be every single year. If you add 1,200 conscious pieces of value, your life gets better, your relationships get better, your career gets better, and it changes you. It worked for me. This is me 364 days ago. That's me on the far right. 299.7 pounds at that point. And I said, you know what I wanna do? I can't be 300 pounds. I got so close, but I can't be 300 pounds. So I said, I wanna be 100 pounds lighter a year from today. So I wanted to apply the same idea of what are the questions that we should ask. So I went to an expert and I said, what questions, if I ask and answer them every day, will make me lose 100 pounds in a year? And she came back to me and she said, here they are. Have I eaten less than 1,800 calories today? Have I done 15 more seconds of cardio than I did the day before? And have I done one more rep on these 4 specific exercises she gave me? She said, you know what? 300 out of 365 days, if you could answer those questions, you will be 100 pounds lighter in a year. That was 364 days ago. I am 199.7 pounds today. They said you should, oh, thank you. They said you should get on a scale and show it to them, but I only am 199 pounds in my underwear, so how about we all disagree? May you take my word for it today? Who you're gonna be in a year isn't gonna be determined by 5 or 6 extraordinary giant days between now and then. Who you're gonna be in a year is going to be determined by what questions you decide you're going to answer for 300 out of the next 365 days. Make those questions tied directly to the values that you care about the most, and ultimately, question by question, action by action, step by step, we get to turn ourselves into someone that we love. And I'll tell you that living your life as someone that you love, that is an awful lot of fun. Guys, thank you so very much for letting me share it with you today. All the very best.